Hey listeners, this is your host, Brother X. I've come to you guys before today's episode, and I wanted to just make sure I put the disclaimer out here. Nothing crazy happened in today's episode, but I want to make sure that it's clear that all views and opinions that are expressed in this week's discussion are of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the opinions or thoughts of the Truth and Transparency podcast. With that being said, guys, let's get started with today's episode. And welcome back to another episode of the Truth and Transparency podcast with your host, Brother X, and
Miss Frizzle. Who in live action should be played by Tracee Ellis Ross?
Oh, really? Ah. So, and here on the Truth and Transparency podcast, we talk openly, honestly about all things and everything in between. We talk about Miss Frizzle and where she got all the money for the field trips.
The magic.
We talk about how Jadakiss is undefeated in verses. We talk about a certain individual who has lost all music festivals, which we won't bring up their name. We're going to talk about how some people like to climb trees, but they really don't. But in all honesty, listeners...
Some people do, though. It could be vice versa.
They like hanging out in the parks. You're right.
Some people do. Because I know some people who they would look across and be like, yo, I'm going to climb that tree. You know, stuff like that.
I'm about to say, they got their good stretch on. They was like, I like a challenge.
I've heard people say this. I want to climb that tree.
Uh-huh.
I'm not talking about anybody or anything in specifics. It could be vice versa.
You be spinning.
All around.
You be spinning. You be spinning, man.
That's it. I'm done.
But shout out to all the tree climbers. I know you guys are listening while you're climbing a tree currently. All right. No, all seriously.
I hope it's great for you.
In all seriousness, we want to thank you guys for always listening in and listening to all of our foolishness as we just kick it with our peoples, man. We want to thank you that we are over 1,100 plus listens or plays across all, podcasting platforms. So shout out to us. No? What?
No, you were right. Keep going.
Oh, okay. I'm just making sure. I'm trying to be a good co-host.
I know. Something came in my head, so you just keep going.
Okay. And on this podcast, we talk on all different podcasting platforms. But first, before we get into today's topics and the foolishness that will ensue, we got to introduce our guests. So first, we have the wizard. Oh, no, no. Well, no, I'm talking about the AT alien himself. Oh. Mr. Tazewell, a.k.a. that dude that can draw anything. Mr. Tazewell, introduce yourself.
Hey, what's going on? JT, a.k.a. Taz. Or actually the car, but what's up?
Respect. We got the 513 and a half, the silent ninja assassin, the fluff and fun magnet, the fluffy girl fall. Queen C, introduce yourself.
I think you did a pretty good job. Do I really have to introduce myself?
I mean, that's usually what guests do on the podcast.
Or just say hello.
Yes. Back at it again, your girl Queen C. Trying to finish up this bar I'm building. That's all I got.
Respect. And of course, you know, we can't go an episode without the 1,000,001 nicknames. What one I got in the back today? We got George of the Jungle. We got 5-0 Goes Home. We got The Great Detective.
You have new ones.
Of course, always. I got them for days. Like, I got a whole book that I have planned for every episode. We got The Waffle House Wizard. The Pootie Tang. The Be More Club Assassin. Mrs. Smith, introduce yourself.
It's your favorite fed, Mr. Smith, also known as
my name is Jeff.
And shout out to Jadakiss murking, and I mean murking, Dipset by himself.
This ain't even in the podcast. Like Jadakiss, I appreciate your music. Like you got some real raw. Like I appreciate it. But dog, I know you wanted to beat them in the verses, but damn, like I know Coach Sciences. I know you may not see this, but Jadakiss and his music group, The Lox, for those who don't know, you're an uneducated swine, but we're not going to talk about you right now, versus Dipset. why you got that face? Don't worry, it was back when you were listening to white people music.
No, no, no. It's just the way you said it. I felt like it just was very, just really disrespectful to a lot of people. But continue.
No, it was disrespectful to a certain person in particular that we know who blew up Facebook this morning with his ignorance.
Okay.
He's not listening, so I'm not worried about it.
He might. He might.
Well, I did run into him the other day, but that's beside the point. so just Jadakiss, when you chose Violence, Chaos, and Dipset, you know how you're supposed to have like a group project you're supposed to present, and then y'all was like, ah, nah, man, we good. We ain't got a prep or anything. We're going to wing it. And then you get up front and you get stage fright. Yeah, that was Dipset. So Dipset, you go ahead and dip out.
I see what you did there. You ain't shit for that. That was kind of clever though. But I see what you did there.
So moving on to things that are just like crazy and really funny, but not funny, is our first segment, which is I Just Think It's Funny. And in this segment, we talk about things that we find interesting, funny in the ironic and not ironic way possible. And this particular week, we want to kick things off because people outside and they were at different music festivals. Again, we're still not going to talk about that one person who can't get on one to save his life. He can't even get on High School Musical at this point. But yeah, we're talking about Lollapalooza. I think I said it right. And if I didn't, y'all know which one I'm talking about. So I was going across these internet streets and I'm like, okay, people's outside. They're going to the festivals. Like, yeah, we've been to festivals, so Dreamville Fest. We will be there. We will be in the VIP.
That's too many people.
You're right. So
close.
You're right. So we've been looking.
COVID is still there.
You're right.
So, okay, I'm done.
You done? But yeah. So
no, I'm not. Why? They all got COVID. Okay, I'm done now.
For my listeners who have the headphones in, I am sorry.
I'm sorry, but this is ugly.
This is a roll back real quick. Go back to the top. We're gonna break this down because we got to go into I don't know if you got my music queued up yet, but you know we got to go into the studio real quick. I got to go into What the Fuck Studio. So, Mrs. Smith, play my music.
And we're back to What the Fuck Studio with your host, Brother X.
And What the Fuck Studios, we examined this. First and foremost, looking at the first image from this article, we actually found that it looks like an episode of Where is Waldo? And I'm sure you could do that. It's like finding a black person in a white people haystack. I see a few. Go ahead, scroll down to the next picture, please. Again, I see multiple white people, and it's just like, ain't not one bit of deodorant in sight.
She mixed.
No, I'm about to say, Shawty in the front of the red tank top looked like she got no deodorant on. Might not even have some tea, but we're not talking about that either. All right, next picture. Okay, that's a nice skyline. We're not going to talk about that. Wait, they got hold up. I didn't even see this the first time. They got a hashtag on one of the buildings outside of Lollapalooza that says Vax to Lollapalooza. I don't know, is vaccine to Lollapalooza?
No, I bet you for real, in order to get a ticket, right, you had to show proof of vaccine because they don't want to help spread it. But I guarantee you, not everybody was vaccinated.
Because people be lying, and
yeah. And you can photocopy that. It's stupid now at this point.
Not that we would ever do that, because we are fully vaccinated on this podcast.
All my stuff is digitalized, so I didn't make no copy of nothing.
You can still get corona with the vaccine.
Yeah, some people, you know.
Hold on. Side note. Just because someone who has the vaccine gets sick with COVID does not mean the vaccine doesn't work and that you shouldn't get the vaccine. Has anybody understood the scientific method? Does anybody understand what a vaccine is? Coach of Scientists, can you
guys... Why would you put me on the spot like this? I am not ready.
I wasn't going to say that if you had let me finish.
A vaccine is a preventative measure.
Mm-hmm.
It may not necessarily stop you from getting a disease, but it will lessen your effects. It will make it so that you're not... as downtrodden with whatever it is you get, like the flu vaccine.
Thank you.
That is correct. So people who don't get the flu vaccine, you're more susceptible to getting the flu and versus dying versus those who get the flu vaccine and still get the flu, but they just get a little, I don't feel so good. And then they're okay. That's the main dramatic parts. There you go.
All right, so now that we're off that soapbox, I don't know how we all fit it on there, but we got there. So keep scrolling back. We're still in What the Fuck Studios, so we're gonna keep going ahead. So I have questions. What? So the performer, Princess Nokia.
Who's she?
I really do not know.
Nokia, like the phone?
Is she built like it? I don't think so.
But it's I wonder, that was my first phone.
It was.
I wonder if
it'll last forever.
I wonder if that fishnets have the game Snake on it, since she's a Nokia.
Wow, you went into the back. Wow.
I mean, she might be talented, but I
don't know. Again, I still feel
her microphone lasts for 3 days straight before it needs to be recharged.
She real trusting.
She is.
Hey, Mr. Smith, she looked kind of tall, brother.
Moving on to the next picture.
Hey, T, we're going
to
fight this fight.
To the next picture. They got a wacky flavor too, man. We ain't going to talk about that. Keep going.
He ain't got COVID.
Yeah, you know the wacky flavor too, man. Ain't got COVID. Okay, normal picture. You got like a festival. Okay, cool, cool, cool. Go ahead. Keep going. There's one in particular that I need to see. Keep going. Okay. She's definitely on a Molly or some type of illicit drug.
Who's she screaming for?
I don't
know. Coronavirus.
That's what it's out. Somebody should make a meme like that for her.
Oh my gosh. Keep scrolling because I need to get to one. You know the one with the two black dudes?
For real. So somebody tell me that's going to be a meme. Like, come on.
Oh, wait. Go back real quick.
Homeboy trying to kiss her.
Yeah. Sir. I really hope that is your girlfriend and that you have consent because it's already looking weird with some white people kiss because it looks like two pieces of sandpaper coming together. Oh. But we're not talking about that. Not all. Let me make sure I make this clear. For all my white listeners, if you are not built like sandpaper, I'm not talking about you. It just looks really weird, like he's about to swallow her mouth.
Sir, did you really wake up and choose violence like Jadakiss? God damn!
I was listening to Death Wish before the episode came on, so I don't know. It might be why.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, so I wanted to get to this one, and we're going to move on after this. So there's this picture of a mosh pit at Lollapalooza, where this young African-American male seemed to be in his element, got the tongue out, having a good time, but his friend is right beside him or right in front of him, and I haven't been able to ascertain whether or not he is enjoying himself or is frustrated. Like, you know how you have those like cuts in the movies where it's like, you probably wonder how I got here, and then it cuts to his best friend in the back? That's what he looks like, because it's like, dog, I don't want to be here. There's so many people. It's too hot. The girl in front of me smells funky. I don't appreciate it. Although she does have on a bandana, so she at least she's doing better than most. But I guarantee.
She said, I'm going to at least cover my face.
You're right. So.
It ain't doing shit.
Go ahead.
No, I'm saying that bandana ain't doing shit with all of them people.
From what I can ascertain, I feel like the dude who has his tongue out is probably the driver. And the dude who's trying to avoid getting knocked the fuck out in the mosh pit was the co-pilot was like, yeah, I'll go with you to the festival. I may get Corona. But yeah, I'll go with you. And then he's like, I regretted the decision. I should have kept my ass at home. Yes, Queen C.
Real quick, far right of the picture, shout out to the nigga with an actual mask on.
You right.
Bravo, respect. Sir.
Respect.
You know, it would be the black person, though.
You know what's playing in his head?
What?
He got right to the front of that stage, and the cooler of the game came on, and he said, oh, Lord.
It's like, he regretted his decision so quickly. Mr. Smith?
I know we're going to make this real quick. Maybe this is my age showing or whatever, but as I'm looking at these pictures of Lollapalooza, this does not look fun at all. I don't like people all on my back and the side. I can't move. I need arm room. Like, if you on my back, I'm immediately swinging first as a reflex. So all these people, and of course, the next thing I have to ask, which is a more adult question, these people that are in the front, what do you do if you have to use the bathroom?
You know exactly what they do, Mrs. Smith.
I do. I'm just more like, it's more of like a metaphorical question to be like, so do you just do it right there?
Yes.
Do you wear a diaper to go there? Or do you like have to shoo your way through 100,000 people? And then you got to figure out how to get back. It just,
There's no getting back. If you leave that spot, it's gone.
Oh, agreed. I'm saying like you try to get back. But overall, people, paid money for this. Hell no.
It's just y'all got the Heine virus, y'all got Corona, y'all got the, let me stop. I was about to get really ignorant.
You were, but I'll end off by saying there's only one thing that comes to mind when I look at pictures like this.
Mm-mm. Oh, hell no. Say it again.
Mm-mm. I will say it one more time.
Oh, hell no.
And then the church said amen and amen.
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 All right, so we're going to go ahead and switch. We're going to take it to church, kind of, sort of, awkward transition. But so again, Twitter, why must you be like this? Listeners, I'm going to play a video. We're going to describe it afterwards, but I'm going to play it for our guests. There's just a lot going on in this one video. So, Mrs. Smith, take it away. Coach Scientist, you seem very bewildered. Would you like to say your thoughts?
Your booty was just out. What was the point of pulling it down? Okay, listen, this is what happened, you listeners, okay?
I'm about to say, tune in, listen. Yeah, we listen. I'm getting my pose.
There's this funeral. I'm trying to figure out if this funeral is for a strip club owner.
Okay.
Because that's the only logical reason that they should be stripping at a strip club. Mm-hmm. And as I'm saying this, our engineer is shaking his head no.
That's not it. Mr. Smith, can you clarify what's happening here?
So apparently a stripper passed away, unfortunately, in South Africa. And as a ritual at the funeral, people, I want to make sure listeners understand this is a outside funeral. Two strippers are doing a routine and dancing on some chairs. One stripper looked like she just clocked out of work and just threw a skirt on and said, screw it, I'm going to the funeral.
True.
Heels and everything. And then decides halfway through to say, you know what? Let's get two guys in here to do a lap dance in front of the casket. And then starts giving the dude a lap dance at a funeral for a dead stripper. Yes.
You said this is a ritual?
Yes.
You want to go down this rabbit hole? Because I got something for you. Hold on. Listen, before we go down that rabbit hole, just know, like, mind you, there's so many questions that I have. I'm like, so you said, at some point, you have to have a conversation about when you're about to pass on. Like, you got to tell your people, like, all right, at my funeral, I want this to happen.
Can you say no? Because if this is a ritual, you don't seem to have a choice.
That's very interesting. Like, I'm wondering, like, where in the motherland culture, where does this come from? Like,
I'm proud of a lot of things from our motherland, but I don't know about this one.
Before we delve down the rabbit hole, Queen C or Tazwell, you got something for us?
Yeah, y'all asking the big picture questions. I just got a little one. Which stripper do you tip, the live one or the dead
one? Oh!
Oh, this is you.
No, I forgot how you come.
There comes a time in every episode time out. I realize that I need to put the disclaimer on.
Yep.
And that was it.
You know what to do. We gonna put that.
Yep, we're gonna put that right in the editing. Yep.
But for real though, you know.
Do not compound this.
It's a valid question.
No, but my, I was gonna make a point.
Okay, go ahead.
if this was not a funeral, I would not mind seeing the one that's closest to the screen in all black.
Okay.
Because, you know, she's a little bit talented, just a little bit, you know, if this was not a funeral.
Before Quincy, this one thing I want to point out, listeners, I saw some yellow shoes on the young lady to the right in the gray and black dress. When I was talking to Mrs. Smith originally, I looked at it, I was like, does she have on Crocs while giving the lap dance?
Does she?
Me and him did a little bit of video analysis, realized it's probably some form of sneakers, but I was like, wow, you must be comfortable to be in a pair of Crocs.
Sneakers.
Yes, they do.
Are they in sport mode?
They might be in sport mode. Like they gotta be in athletic mode.
I mean,
is the pussy athletic?
She's not gonna be.
We're not gonna talk about that, Quincy. We're gonna leave that alone.
Or what if the one in the black was like, "Hey, yo, I need a partner to do this," and so she just joined in.
Now that had to be prepared. That's way too planned out.
Is it?
Yeah.
And I mean, they could have performed this routine a couple times in the club.
It could have been strippers to get, like, it's a stripper funeral.
But hold on, there was one other thing Mrs. Smith pointed out to me the first time. We're still like watching this. There's just a lot going on. Mrs. Smith pointed out a really important thing.
Is it still
point.
A strip routine?
Yes. So Mrs. Smith pointed out both shawties had on masks when they started the routine. Once the dudes get brought to the chairs that they're dancing on, the shawty in the black takes her mask off.
That's so backwards.
Like, make that make sense.
You're already rubbing all on the person.
Malcolm, she's a stripper. You gotta take your clothes off.
I was thinking the same thing though. I was thinking the same thing. So I'm with you right there. It was like, it's a part of the routine. Let me strip it off. Hey.
So like it makes me think, I'm like, when you go to like, I don't frequent the strip clubs anymore. I'm saved, I'm delivered.
But that's a lie. The moment we can go back, we will be going.
I haven't been to one in 2021. Oh, you're right. We are both saved and delivered of 2020, but we're not going to talk about that. So what makes me really wonder, I'm like, if this happened in America, I really wonder what happened. So to swing back to your point, you wonder, where did this come from? Was that your question?
If it's a ritual.
So yeah, it was ritual. So
what part of Africa?
Oh, funny enough, you want to know where that's originated from?
I kind of don't now.
Oh, no, we're going to go down this rabbit hole. Mrs. Smith, pull up the clip. Hmm. So the question is raised. Coach of Scientist, can you read the question, please?
I got it. Hold on. Why do some Chinese funerals involve strippers? Why? Zoom in so I can read it.
Can you zoom in a little bit for us, please?
I'm ready to educate our listeners. Okay, guys. Where you want me to start? Right.
Sorry, at the where it says, why do people hire strippers?
Okay, so why do people hire strippers at funerals? That is a fantastic question. Okay, good start on this article. Okay, according to one theory. Sorry, that hurts my feelings as a scientist. Strippers are used to boost funeral attendance because large crowds are seen as a mark of honor for the deceased. I mean, I can see that.
Mm-hmm. Keep going.
Another states their practice could be linked to worshiping.
Yeah, go ahead. Finish the statement. Do you need me to say it?
No, I got it.
You sure?
I got it.
Go ahead.
I'm gonna start it over. Another states their practice could be linked to a worship of reproduction.
Listeners, we can't make this up.
In some local cultures, dancing with erotic elements can be used to convey the deceased's wishes to becoming blessed with many children. In some local cultures,
mm-hmm. You said this, you read that part. Go down.
I know what I read.
Okay. you really trying to figure this out?
In some local cultures, dancing with erotic elements can be used to convey the deceased's wishes of being blessed with many children. I cannot pronounce this last name, so I'm not going to.
Keep reading.
One practical theory is that hiring of strippers could be seen as a sign of wealth. practical? Okay. Chinese rural households are more inclined to show off their disposable income to pay out several times their annual income for actors, singers, I know, I get that part, comedians and strippers, to comfort the bereaved and entertain the mourners, the said Global News.
All right, so you want to continue?
Yeah.
All right, keep going.
Is this practice comics? I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
It is mainly seen in rural parts of China, but is actually more common in Taiwan. Did I say that right?
Correct.
Okay. Where it first originated from. The practice of funeral strippers first caught widespread public attention in Taiwan in 1980. University of South Carolina anthropologist Mark Moskowitz said to BBC, I love some BBC. Sorry.
No, I'm checking the mic for you.
Nasty.
We just gonna move on. So no, you're done. You in the corner for like 5 seconds. You didn't have to pause like that. Wow.
All right. So, it's the way she said it.
What I meant.
Needless to say, this tradition apparently came from Chinese and Taiwanese culture. Just wow.
That was why, when she was reading this, why did I immediately think of Madea's family funeral, where it was all the hoes at the funeral, and they had to make them sit on the other side away from the family?
Like I have seen some things in my life. I have seen some things at some strip clubs. I have seen a combination of both. Like, there's just so many crazy things that can happen with this. And in my mind, I'm like, this was not on my big board of things that are the reasons why I'm seeing a lap dance at a funeral.
It was a talented lap dance.
It was. It was a strong 7.5, 8. I'll give it a B plus maybe.
I just want to say that, that's what y'all like. That's what y'all like. You know, cool. But the part about comedians and actors things, you can see that in movies. They right. show that part, but they never show this part. And how is it a ritual if it starts in the 80s? Did it start in the 80s or they just got like attention in the 80s?
Probably got attention in the 80s.
Okay. I really want to learn more. I actually might read about this because I'm really confused.
I have a question.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Where was the church mother in all of this? Because you know it's one there.
If she grew up there, it's a different type of church.
I guarantee you, she was probably the one that made the outfits. She's in the back, like, that's my baby, and I'm going to stand beside her.
I need a real church mother. I need Sister Eugene Jenkins on the usher board with the white flats on.
You know she wouldn't let him through the door.
Well, right. I mean, if it was outside, ain't no doors to let him through.
She wasn't letting him pass the rope.
Maybe this is bad timing, but I would have taken that black stripper for a lap dance because she was pretty talented. I'll take that. Not at a funeral. Maybe Magic City / Onyx / Stadium / King of Diamonds / King, Ace of Diamonds. But we ain't not going to talk about that.
Listeners, I don't know where my friends get this stuff from. I know your friends represent who you are. I'm about to say I'm part of this. I'm just as bad, but I don't know where my friends get this from. It's not for me.
I tell you this.
We all went to HBCUs.
Well, I tell you this. It was way more than just that body that was stiff at that funeral.
Wow. Why? What? Move on. We're moving on.
I have a
yes.
What do you want to say?
So here's the thing. So listen, it's going back to one last point that I have to ask about because this is just a lot. Let me ask you, guests and listeners at home, let us know on our social medias your thoughts. If you could ask for one outlandish thing at your funeral that is not common, what would it be? Mm. One outlandish thing. One thing that you know is not traditionally had at a funeral. What would you have?
Well, my funeral already is going to be a party. And I don't like to think about this anyways, but it's going to be a party. It ain't going to be a sad occasion.
Okay, so you want an actual party, not like a...
I want an actual party.
Can we stroll past your casket?
No.
Oh, okay.
You're going to be some respect.
But after we show respect,
you can do it at the party part. We're gonna have a regular funeral, like a nice, sweet, calm one.
Uh huh.
And then a party.
So is there twerking allowed at the party afterwards?
I mean, it would only be right.
Okay, I just had to make sure. Mrs. Smith.
Honestly, I'm kind of on the same page as the culture scientists. I don't really have too many outlandish things. I would just, my last wish would be for whoever is I'm loved by that's there to be, as Black people always say, it's not a funeral, it's a homegoing, it's a celebration. So if it's a celebration, I would like for my people to be happy and party, even though I'm not physically there anymore and I'm in spirits. I want the ancestors, you know, Wakanda forever. But I would like for you to actually have a good time on my behalf.
Like when my aunt passed, which one thing I do love about Black people is even a lot of the times, even the, what's it called? The repast?
Yes.
The repast ends up turning into like just a happy gathering to begin with. So although it's sad and you're gathered for sad reasons, it ends up being like a good occasion in a way. And like, that's how I see my aunts. Like my aunt, she brought all of us back together in a sad, for a sad occasion. But everybody, when I mean everybody, my cousins and aunts and everybody came and we had a cookout and a party and it was the celebration of her. It was beautiful.
Awesome. Queen C, I have one for you, but if you want to share yours first, go ahead.
I've been sitting here thinking, I really don't know, because I don't like to think about death like that.
Right.
I probably would have an open bar.
Ah, respect.
Everybody drunk.
I mean, you got to get through it somehow.
Well, I have one that's a little bit rude, but everybody gets to go home with step stools in your honor.
Fuck you.
That shit is rude, bro.
Jordan, you got anything?
I had a minute to think about it, and I'm going to keep it to myself.
Oh, good.
Yeah, like, I think.
Is it that bad? It's worse than what you said earlier?
It could be. It depends on your opinion. But I would have, at my funeral, I give out party favors. And if I don't fuck with you, you get open palm smack.
Wait, you just got somebody at the funeral open palm smacking people?
I'm actually not mad.
I choose violence from the grave.
I get it.
I'm not mad at that either.
I'm down with that.
Because, you know, people just be showing up, oh, I missed them so much. No, you didn't. You were waiting.
Anticipating it like it was an album drop. Like, like, if I were to think about mine, and I'm probably going to regret saying this, I might just ask the question, so how much does it cost for you to do a whole show at my at my funeral? You know what type of show. Moving on.
Wow, yeah. Move the hell on.
All right. So, you know, after you see some crazy shit at the strip club, you know what you do? Miss Smith, do you know what you do?
Mm-hmm.
We go to Waffle House.
Let me get that All-Star special, baby.
Hey. But you know, a lot of things happen at Waffle House, and we can share some of our brief stories or some crazy outlandish experiences. But this particular Waffle House experience, listeners, I need for you to know, this is how you're supposed to react at an incident at Waffle House. Mr. Smith, play the clip.
Correct.
So for listeners who don't know and couldn't quite make it out, so this young white lady was sitting here with her friend at the counter at Waffle House eating a hash brown bowl that was smothered with cheese. I want to say that was cheese on top.
It's cheese.
Yeah, I think it was
a melted American cheese. Yes.
So yeah, she I think just it was smothered and chopped.
Yep, smothered and chopped. She got her nice to-go lemonade or water with whatever's in her cup, maybe Sprite, you never know. So she's just chilling there, just eating, and all of a sudden you just see she's minding her business, like good common sense people do. If it ain't got your business and it ain't fucking with your food, mind your business, because getting involved never ends well. So shout out to this young white lady for doing what should be done in certain situations. If it ain't got shit to do with you, eat your hash brown bowl in peace. Plain and simple that. But it continues where there's another young lady, I'm assuming young, because black don't crack, but we make poor clothing decisions sometimes. She has on a very bright outfit. That has another dude's story. But she seemed to be upset about some type of food order. So I'm like, okay, I get it. You might be upset. Like, they be ringing you up for three different things. They're all three different prices.
I mean, they feel good, but they do fuck up sometimes.
They fuck up a lot, but yeah, we're not going to talk about it. They have to have on the Waffle House sleeve with the brand on there, scramble the eggs with their hands, flipping the bacon with the same hands, and then shredding the potatoes for the hash browns to make my food for it to be good. But apparently somebody wasn't wearing their sleeve that day, so somebody was going to get the hands. And apparently she just grabs paper towel dispenser, I think a bowl, just a bunch of different things. Anyone know the most crazy part about this? This is happening. They ain't flinching. I'm not going to say they have black friends, but if there was ever a time to say I grew up with black friends, this is a moment to show it. Now, here is the key piece. There is a black male that's decided to sit down while all this is going on. I don't know when he came in. I don't know if he's with the young lady, but he is sitting right here at the table. The young black lady decides to get up. I kid you not, listeners. He gets up the minute she stands up on the counter, and he dips, like the other proper reaction to have when you're at Waffle House.
Especially if you are a black man.
Like, you either continue to eat your Waffle House in peace, or you get the fuck out when there's a fight at Waffle House. Only two responses. Yes, Mr. Smith.
So I totally agree with you. As you're watching the young lady, she is literally watching this like this is live entertainment television, and I'm just gonna continue eating my hash brown, bro, like nothing is going on. At the same time, however, this black dude, now granted, I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt. He technically was sitting in the fire zone because she did stand up directly next to him. He was like, yeah, I don't want to take this problem with the police cop. I'm just gonna go ahead and dip the hell out. My food ain't ready yet. You know what? You can keep it. I'm gonna go ahead and head on out. But the fact that how she yeeted that damn napkin dispenser, oh, she was pissed.
And from what it sounded like, she was upset over like some grape or some jam or something having to do with grapes. I'm like, dog, is it that day? Like we throwing shit across the Waffle House? Like, you gonna ruin everybody's experience because you're upset about some grapes? Guess, do you have any thoughts about this? Yes, Queen C?
I respect the woman that filmed this, and I would have did the same thing, especially because as she's eating, when she turns the camera back to herself and she takes a bite of that hash brown bowl, you see the steam coming off it. She just got that food. She ain't going nowhere.
You're right. Jordan?
I think old buddy who left, that was his first online date, so he did when he got the chance.
We're going to put a pin in that because you
bring up a good point.
You do bring up a good one. We're going to circle back to that. Mr. Smith.
Oh, God. Okay. One, I will eat at that Waffle House. Because if that's the shit you got going on down there, I know that food slap. I already know that food slap like a motherfucker. And then two, again, I'm like her. If my all-star special with cheesy eggs and sausage and toast with double egg and not that much hash brown come out and you start chucking shit, I am smooth going to look at you. I'm going to pour syrup on my waffle, cut that thing up. I'm going to just watch the festivities. And lo and behold, Nothing as bad as this, but I have been to a Waffle House within the last, I'm going to say, 4 to 5 months. That way people don't try to guesstimate when I went. And there was a white lady who kept asking if she could play Biggie Smalls while she was cleaning. And then kept talking about how she was there when Martin Luther King was marching through for the black people and how she has black friends. All of this while the black dude is chefing up my meal. And I just looked at her like, I don't really care. I just want my food.
Okay.
but he did have a compression sleeve on. And listeners, key, if the cook has not stepped out for a smoke break and chucks his cigarette before he walks back in to cook your food, walk away. It's not worth it.
It's not. It's going to be trash. Like, two quick experiences that I've had at fast food or dining restaurants. One, some of our guests know. So friends were in town for a birthday a while back. I think it was like my 26th. We were going to go to a barbecue spot that was closed, but we ended up going to like Bojangles and and McDonald's. So in this story, me and the culture scientists went inside. Our friends who had to get on the road were in their cars. So, and I think some of them went to McDonald's, some of them were at Bojangles. So we go inside because we're like, all right, we got time. We can order our food, be fine. So we're chilling there. We were like looking at the menu, trying to figure out if I want the Cajun Filet biscuit combo with the seasoned fries and the sweet tea and the lemonade mix. Not that I've ordered it once or twice in my lifetime, but we chilling there. All of a sudden, the culture scientist is just looking around, doop-de-doo, in her own little world, trying to figure out her order. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, I hear, yo, fuck that shit. Man, fuck you. Da-da-da. Mind you, culture scientist doesn't hear any of this. So she's continuing to figure out this stuff. Mind you, all the people that were in front of us start slowly stepping away from the counter.
I'm like, what?
Listeners, I kid you not. We literally see a whole thing, I think almost like a whole quarter, like the big cup from Bojangles of sweet tea get thrown at this dude's face. Bow! And we're like, oh shit. And mind you, culture scientist didn't move away. She got closer to watch. And I'm like, in this moment, I had to yoke her up like she was a child before I see, oh, boom, a whole thing of Cajun fries get thrown. And I'm like,
yo. It was wasted fries, yo. It was wasted fries.
It was all bad. Now, mind you, keep in mind, our friends are still in the drive-thru line, and the people who were fighting was the dude who worked the drive-thru window. Mr. Smith?
Two things. One, yes, listeners, I was the one in the drive-thru window. So when they came out and told me what happened, I was like, oh, that's why we've been sitting in this line for so damn long. This is ridiculous. But number two, just a quick pivot. Queen C's graduation. Me and Brother X decided to go to Waffle House in Richmond. And when we ordered our food, I kid you not, because I have both Brother X and Queen C as a witness. Brother X and I walked out of the Waffle House, turned to our left, and saw a pimp. Yes, listeners, a pimp and his hoe literally having an argument, and the pimp backhands the hoe over some money. And me and Brother X Smooth said, nope, and walked Smooth back into the damn Waffle House.
I don't blame you.
Good times.
Here's one of my crazy ones, and Jordan, I don't think you were here for this. So me, my big brother JP, and a couple other people decided we're going to go to Waffle House one day after having some libations and having a good time. So we go in there. Mind you, it's just us and one other couple that are in there. It's like, I don't remember if it's late at night or whatever. So we're basically in there. We're getting some food. There's three people working. A dude and two, and like, it's like two dudes and a chick. Literally, I see one dude leave. We're like, oh, okay, that's not normal. Like, that's normal. They go back there. We see the chick leave. Okay, there's only one person left. They, like, got one person cooking the food. Then the third dude leaves. We're like, that's really odd. We're waiting on our food, but, like, they just left. Then we smell the hint of the Mary Jane floating in the air. And mind you, there's not but, like, five or six people in this whole entire Waffle House. We all look at each other as like, are they really? And yes, listeners, they were. They went and hotboxed the back of the Waffle House before they cooked our food. And needless to say, listeners, that food was still fire.
I was going to say, I bet it slapped.
Oh, it really absolutely. Now, the question, when they were smoking the Mary of the Jane, did they have the compression sleeve on still?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that
my
food
man,
was
my
hitting.
Man was double sleeved.
What is double sleeve? Oh, that food was hitting.
My man is going for 40 waffles, 80 scrambled eggs, and three plates of hash browns. My man is putting up numbers. He's gonna have his
sleeve triple double
in the rafters of the Waffle House. That's how good the food was.
Oh my God.
So listeners, needless to say, enjoy Waffle House, but be wary because things happen. before we move on to our Black business highlight, yes, did you have any other thoughts about this?
Yeah, why is she yelling about grapes when she looked like a grape?
Well, I mean, she looked like Serena Williams' tennis ball, but you know, just gonna skip on that.
She looked like a crushed M&M.
Listeners,
I got
the thoughts and opinions of the guests on the Truth and Transparency podcast do not necessarily represent the thoughts and opinions of the Culture Scientist or Brother X. Let me just go ahead and put that out there again.
But they secretly do.
Again, the thoughts and opinions of all the guests of the Truth and Transparency podcast do not necessarily represent the thoughts and opinions of the Culture Scientist and Brother X. They may represent Jordan, but we're not talking about him right now.
So with all that being said, Queen C, Waffle House Friday after the event?
Of course.
Okay, we good.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Listeners, what I almost forgot. This episode, although we're already like 30, 40 minutes in, this episode is probably going to come out two weeks removed from when we record this. So it might be a little bit dated, but at this point, we have already gone and supported our friend who is getting married. Shout out to, please help me out. I'm drawing a blank all of a sudden.
Phyllis,
real name or code name?
Code name.
Sweet Savage.
Sweet Savage.
Shout out to Sweet Savage. We're going to get you on the podcast one of these days. Probably not soon because I know you want to enjoy being married and whatnot.
Right.
Technically, she's getting married tomorrow.
You right.
You're not supposed to talk about that.
I was wrong. I got it wrong. But yes, so this is going to come out a little bit later, so it might sound a little bit dated, but listeners, y'all don't care. Y'all fuck with us, so we're going to keep it going. So we're actually going to switch lanes now to the Black business highlight. Give me one moment. I need to pull it up again. For some reason, it didn't stay there. So this week's Black business highlight is V's Beads, custom waistband, waist beads, anklets, and more. And on their website, they actually provide the basic this description. V's Beads offer custom waistband beads, anklets, bracelets, and more. Handcrafted beads made for all shapes and sizes. So for all of my hot girls and my hot boys, for those who are interested in, if you're looking for some body jewelry that isn't out of the norm and you want to support a Black business, please check out V's Beads, that is a mouthful to say, custom waist beads, anklets, and more. You can check them out. They're actually located here in the Triangle area, as well as their information for their social media is going to be in the show notes. So again, check out V's Beads, custom waist beads, anklets, and more.
Now one more time for the listeners on the back.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Because I mean, we're trying to get sponsorship because we're taking donations. but we're actually going to come back to Jordan, you brought up, I think it was Jordan, you brought up a very excellent point about that last clip we played about the Waffle House and that being an online date. This week's topic is actually going to bring up, like, I want to talk about online dating. As someone who hasn't experienced it before, I want to allow my friends the space to be able to vent, speak on, share, communicate what it is like. We're also going to talk about where is it similar and different from online versus in life, real life dating. Maybe some crazy stories, if they feel comfortable, and what are our big issues with it. So I'm going to open up the floor by saying, who would like to go first?
I guess I'll take the reins. So what is it like? I don't know, honestly. It's kind of still new to me. I'm kind of, you know, I feel like I'm on a rookie contract, and it's like I'm in year two, so I'm just getting the reins of it. You know, out of the graciousness of having friends and people push for me to say, you know, try it out along with my therapist, I've been on a date or two. I've had a couple of conversations, and it's weird, especially come from an old school person like myself, where like I'm so used to I meet a friend of a friend, or I meet you in real life, and then we might get the Facebook. Or back in the day when it was like, oh, let me get your number. Now people are just like, oh no, you can't get my number, but you can get my Instagram, or you can get my Snapchat, or you can get my, no, we don't do Facebook. But yeah, it's kind of weird, and I'm still getting adjusted to it. However, you know, did have one successful date, so I'll take it.
Listeners, my female listeners, he is still single, ready to mingle. And yeah, we're just gonna leave it there. All right, anybody else?
Yeah, I can speak on it. been down in the trenches for a minute. I agree with everything Mr. Smith said. It's weird. Again, coming from a different time where we met people in person or met through friends of friends, what have you. Everything is just like so easily accessible. It's just like, oh, no, swipe left, swipe left, swipe left. The hard part about it is actually getting a match, because you may see a profile that, you know, you're really into and you swipe to match with the person, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to swipe back on you. But I don't know. It's just, it's interesting. I'll say that.
Okay. Culture scientists, do you have any thoughts?
People try to put either, I think I've done multiple types of online dating. And I think people try to show different extremes of themselves.
Mm.
So like you have some people who are constantly, who are honest. Like you have some people that are just straight up honest. And they're like, this is what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And be that sex, be that a relationship, be that whatever it is.
A situationship.
Yeah.
Because it is August.
Some of them are straight up front. Then you have some who act or try to act cool.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like a strange thing. And I do believe you can find love online. I do believe it is possible. I've met people who successfully are still growing strong and they met online. But I think it takes a certain type of personality to find the one. But I do think online dating is good for you to also find a friend. And I'm not just talking a sexual friend. I'm talking about like a friend to go out, hang out with, do something with, stuff like that.
Mm.
I mean, I was able to accomplish that. And that was nice. Had something to do, keep myself occupied, you know, just not be by myself all the time. But yeah, then I found you.
Yeah, she found me. You know what it is. All right. But in all seriousness, man, Jordan, I don't know if you wanted to share something before I kind of say my piece.
Sure. I didn't date online, but I do think that people online are different than in person. I guess just from like a social media perspective, there have been plenty of people I met and like you have a conversation online and then when you meet them in person, they're completely different. So it's kind of hard to, you know, articulate or get yourself across in a couple characters. And so I could definitely see that being difficult, finding someone to connect with when online dating is the only medium.
That's real, man. So when I started thinking about it, because although I don't have experience like Jordan with online dating, what I really wanted to try to start getting to, and I'll talk to Mr. Smith about this, was like, where did the origins of this really take place? So, you know, I had to open up the big book of social media and had to go grab, look at the encyclopedia. I had to go way back in time. And I started thinking about, I'm like, where did people start really meeting up online?
So AOL chat.
Talk about it. So you got AOL chat. You got a whole conversation. You got people meeting. Obviously, some weren't safe because there are some weirdos on the internet.
For real though.
MySpace.
Oh, you had MySpace. We even had Black Planet. Like, you got Black Planet. And now, like, you see it, the progression. It's like a timeline of social media. As the internet became bigger, the resources were funded to it where people wanted human interaction. And a lot of times, these people would go from having conversations online to figure out, yo, we should meet up. Oh, you live in this area? We should meet up. Mind you, again, some people are weirdos. Please be safe if you do these things. But it started to become more commonplace. And then they decided, oh, there's an untapped market because people want to find love and people want instant gratification with it because of social media and because of access to the internet.
Yeah, we have a problem with that, though. You know, we should have an episode about that.
You're right. But listeners, you got to keep listening to find out when that is. But you have all these old school places and then you start seeing the progression. Like for me, the first real social media site that I was on, thank you parents for letting me be on it, was MySpace. And mind you, MySpace was interesting. I love MySpace. Like we might have to do a bonus episode about the MySpace era because We were all coders before we knew we were coders.
Yes.
Oh boy.
I thought I was a genius and my thing said who I was.
Like, I almost wonder like what my MySpace profile is still doing. Maybe it's off wondering if I'm ever coming
pretty
back.
Pretty sure mine's playing Lil Bow Wow. Just don't know.
I might have Lil Wayne on there. I'm not sure. I remember at one point I had Omari on Icebox, but we're not talking about that either.
You brought it up.
You worried about
who hurt you? Who hurt you?
I was a young freshman in high school. Life was rough.
It was emotional as hell for no damn reason.
I don't even know. Like, my life was coming to an end. I don't even know what it was.
Mine was a lot of love songs. I was trying to find a person, but that didn't happen then.
Like, you had to hit up your friends like, yo, where'd you get that code on your MySpace page? Getting in trouble in the school's computer lab, being on MySpace when you should be doing stuff, playing Oregon Trail. We're not talking about that either. But honestly, you just kind of look at it as like, as we kind of look for human connection and we needed other resources, because a lot of times you have these small town people that really don't only have like, there's like one high school, or there's only like the people in your general area. And people started to realize like, no, I have access to other things when you know there's available, because sometimes there's a lot of people who locally will just date, oh, well, these are only available bachelors in my area. I might as well marry them. I don't really like them, but what are my options? And that's no longer really a thing, because you literally have all the social media sites have some form of dating. Like, Facebook just got the dating profile thing a couple years ago.
I mean, because it was already basically dating. Now people want to make a profit off of it. That's all it is now.
Very true, because I have heard of every type of dating online program. You have not really Black men. I've
probably been on them.
You got Christian Mingle. You got Farmers Only.
You got Jewish. I think there's one for Jewish only. There's like a Black old people meet. I can't remember the name, but it's for old people. Super old people.
AARP?
No. That's just rude. It's a cool name, too.
The Jitterbug? I don't know.
I know what you're talking about. I can't think of it.
Right. I saw it once and I was like, interesting.
It's like 55 and over. Like, you legit have to be a senior.
Yeah, because so they have like, an apartment complex called that too.
So you have to show them a picture of you with peanut brittle and like the old red strawberry candies in order to be able to get on?
No, really? Your school picture has to be in black and white.
Like, you have to know, if you're a dude, you got to show it in the 70s. Will you have the mesh tank top, the multicolor one, like you like look like you Jamaican? Yes. You gotta be that old.
You gotta show the baby picture where the nightgown came down to the floor, whether you were a boy or a girl.
No, you gotta show your polio bags.
True shit.
I quit.
Taz over there just driving. Ooh, I got one. Boom.
Like, my man just sniping from the hills, just like, where do you be pulling this from?
A dude out here riding around like Denzel and Trading Day, just, yeah.
No, I'm sorry. As soon as he said that, he literally ran up in this conversation like. Literally, he's like, your name.
My man Lee did a drive-by while driving by.
God.
Getting back to the conversation, I guess we could kind of switch over to, for those who have done both or things that you've observed, what would you say is like the similarities or differences between online and real life dating?
I tell you this, you're going to meet crazy people no matter which one you do.
Yeah.
That's real. What I've seen, I mean, some people are very blunt and honest. You have both sides. You got people saying, I want you to pay my bills on the first date, and you got people saying that I want to fuck on the first date.
One of the creepiest things,
mm-hmm.
I think, it's kind of like, I mean, I guess it's the same if you, okay, people you've met in real life,
uh-huh,
right?
Right.
And then all of a sudden you're on social media, you're on the dating apps, and they pop up on there, and they already swiped a like for you after you swiped it. So then you're like, oh, we already matched. That's cool. And then you go on a date.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just like super, it's more awkward. But like it's kind of like, well, have you been watching me for a while? Like, this question's got come up. Like, oh, you're on a dating app? Okay.
That is kind of creepy. I'm Queasy.
Just, you know, thought.
I got one even creepier, and Mr. Smith can testify to this because he was there when I saw it. I had somebody I went to high school with who tried to match with me on Hinge. If I didn't say shit to you in high school, I'm definitely not talking to you now.
You know what that was? Was he ugly?
As my sister would say, he's not attractive to me.
So when you made that pause, that tells me that he's ugly. But we're not going to talk about that.
Again, as my sister was saying.
No, we're talking about you.
Because it's somebody for everybody, but he is not attractive to me.
He is not attractive. We know what that means.
Let her take the NBA approach out where he said, I didn't have my best game. We need to look at the game tape. We're going to have to figure it out. Go to practice, make a couple things. We'll be back on it tomorrow. That's the cop out. Just let it happen.
Honestly, you know what that sounds like? For all my 90s kids, you know the show Hey Arnold. So you know how Helga was always like chasing after Arnold? But you had that one white boy that Brainy. Always took out of no, what was his name?
Brainy. He used to come Brainy up breathing behind her.
Always breathing behind her, just pop up like, and you know what he probably said? Was like, hi, Cypree. Hi, Queasy.
I think a lot of girls
have. I saw that and I was like, nope.
No, I think that's a very good point. Like, I think.
Like, on a very serious tip.
Yeah, go ahead.
I really think every girl has a guy that does that. And I think some of them are creepy. Some of them, I think they mean well. It just comes off real creepy.
They're socially awkward.
Yeah. Well, you don't know what one you're getting.
That's probably how online dating started. Because, you know, a year or two after you graduate, it's all these dudes in your inbox like, you know, I had a crush on you back in the day, right? You know, I used to like you in high school, right? Then they made an app.
But I don't know how many times, like, you know, some of y'all were cute. Thank you for liking me. But where was all this attention while I was in college? Okay? Where was it?
Where was it when I was there? I don't want it now.
You wanna talk to me now? What?
Now that you ugly? Now that you got 4-5 kids and 3 baby
moms? Did I fall for the trick for one of them? Yes. Mistake.
I mean, players mess up.
But you know, the mistake turned into a beautiful journey for a better life.
And then there was me.
That's what I said.
I just had to put that out again. Oh, Mr. Smith, go ahead.
Before you got to the point of the baby mamas and the kids and all of that, part of it could be the fact that they did not have the confidence to step to y'all at the time. And then they saw you later on and said, you know what? Screw it. I'm a little bit better now. Because listeners, I was that guy. I didn't step to a lot of people within my high school or probably like my freshman or sophomore year of college. I was that, you know, I'm gonna chill in the cut and talk and let my boys do all the talking, whatever. And then come junior years where it was like, okay, I could come out of it. But I noticed kind of to tie it back into the real life dating and how you guys said the high school people be like, oh, I had a crush on you. It's amazing when you are stuck in your local area, right? So you're like, oh, this person is the best looking person. I want to be with this person. Then you get to college, you're like, okay, you're from Atlanta and you're from Cali and you are from DC and you're from Miami and y'all shit on this person religiously. So, and then you go back and you're just like, you such a peasant. No, I don't want to see you. I want to be with this person. And now your standards have upgraded. So those people probably went out and then came back and was like, oh, you still look cute. I'm gonna reach out to you. Now, is it good? Probably not. But just putting that little disclaimer out there.
Go ahead, Cultural Sciences.
I will say, it's not always bad. Sometimes it's especially if it's like, ego boosts. Especially if it's like a guy that you noticed that didn't notice you, or vice versa. Like a girl, you know, you'd be like, oh, you notice me now? Okay. But I'm not, you know, depends on where you at in life, what you gonna move forward on. But yeah, I'm just saying, it's not always a bad thing. But then it is true, like when you come up, so like the people that you thought were fine in high school, you still sometimes might want to prove a point. And then like, oh, now you like me. Now that I'm this way. or looking this way, blah, blah, blah.
Well, I mean, I think that you speak to a good point. And as someone, like, I think the best analogy to your point, Mr. Smith, was that it's like small fish, like big fish in a small pond. Like, when you're only limited by your options, it's like, oh, this is girl is a, in my case, this girl is a 9 or a 10. No, that was just a 9 or 10 because of those were my options. When I went to HBCU, shout out the illustrious Hampton University, have some of the most beautiful women in the world, but not the beautiful woman in Shaw. Beautiful woman in Shaw is the only one I care about.
Thank you.
Of course, you know I gotta get those brownie points. All right, so, but honestly, like you just kind of realize, like for me, little background information, before I met the culture scientist and my world was not as great as it is now, I was a late bloomer. What? You don't want me to give you compliments?
That's not what I said. Keep going. This is an episode about online dating. Let's go.
Okay. So basically with the dating, I was a late bloomer. I didn't start dating, period, until maybe like my last couple months of senior in high school. Even that wasn't serious. So basically that happened, and then I got to college. And for the longest time, I was always the dude on the outside looking in with all my friend groups. I was like, ain't nobody checking for me. Like, I was notorious, and Queasy would tell you, Jordan, are you okay in the background? I saw some flashing lights.
Oh, yeah, it's just construction. We all good.
Okay, I had to make sure. I'm like, please do not get in trouble. Listeners, this episode might not come out if it goes slow. I can't do this. This is
for this evidence. So, brother, I am a law-abiding citizen. I paid my taxes. We good.
All right. Getting back to my point, it was just like, for the longest time, I used to say, I'm like, yo, I'm ugly. I'm sure Jordan would still say that I'm ugly, but I mean, like, for the longest time, I was like, I was ugly and ain't nobody checking for me. So for the longest time, I was like, no one's looking for me. So I was probably that dude in some ways, but I get that some people need to find that medium to build up their confidence because a lot of people are superficial. There are some people who will write you off of initial appearances.
Absolutely.
If people who knew where I was a dope ass individual, but I couldn't dress. I dressed how I was able to afford. It was rough. There's some pictures where I like to bury and never let see that day. But honestly, I kind of get where those people are. So it is kind of like a double-edged sword.
Right.
And I think that to the point, it is a balance.
It's a balance to it. It's a trick to it.
Yeah. And I think, like, ultimately, these dating apps you're creating, it's very apropos that it says you're creating a profile because you're creating, like, a persona or an avatar for people to see, like, hey, this is my business model, and I want you to support this business by investing your time and your experiences with me and trying to determine that. It's kind of like almost determining, like, you're working in the stock market. You're trying to figure out which stocks are high, which ones are low, which ones you can get rid of, which ones you want to keep. So it's kind of very interesting balance with that. So let's go ahead and switch it up a little bit. Let's go with the crazy online stories. I think we said a few, but any crazy online stories that you've had? Mr. Smith, I know you've been buying at the bit. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this was not like that crazy, but it was just to the point where I was like, you went this far. So this was probably my junior, yes, because I had a car. This is my junior year in college, and there's this girl. Not gonna put her name out there because don't really care anymore. But there was this girl that said that she had went to Hampton and that she was class of 2010. And so she had liked me and we started messaging on Facebook, you know, whatever. And, you know, she was just like, hey, do you want to be in a relationship on Facebook? Now, listeners, this is how you know I'm aging myself. Being in a relationship on Facebook was like the ultimate, oh, snap. Who is she? What is it? It's kind of the same way now, but back then it was like a big deal. So, you know, we put our stuff on Facebook and everyone's tripping. But then, you know, as a human being, a logical thinking human being, you start connecting the dots and you're just like, okay, this person I've never seen before. She said that she went to school, but she said she lived in the Harbors, but we've been in the Harbors multiple times. Never saw her there. She didn't have a car. She said she lived in Woodbridge, but she said that she drove from Woodbridge to Hampton every day for school. Now, for those listeners who do not know the DMV area like I do, Woodbridge, Virginia, from my house right now, is about, I'd say about an hour and a half, hour 45 minutes. from Woodbridge to Hampton is 2.5 hours one way. So she was saying back then that she drove 2.5 hours one way to go to school to then drive 2.5 hours to go back in the same day. And she did it every day. And then she would say stuff like, oh, well, the cream of the crop was when she said that she was in journalism. Not knowing that both myself, Brother X, and Queen C have multiple close friends in the School of Journalism. So I literally just had to reach out to my resources and go, hey, have you heard of this person? And they were like, nope. I said, she's your year. So let me get the curriculum for journalism. He gave me the piece of paper and I said, oh, what classes have you taken out? She was like, oh, well, I did this, this, that, and third. When I tell you she missed every single class on that damn thing, I was like, yep, delete, get off my shit, leave me alone, gone. And she was just like, no, no, I did go to Hampton. I'm like, no, you don't. And I don't know how you keep trying to clip up this lie. And then after she got done with me, she ended up hitting probably about 7 of my friends, one after the other, trying to get them. So,
oh, she was a homie hopper.
Oh, absolutely. But the thing is, nobody knows what she looked like. Because she only had 2 pictures. So you couldn't really tell. But of course, this is back in the day where we didn't have Google as good as it is now. So we could figure out, hey, look at the pictures, look at the video, listen to the voice, all that stuff. We just had Facebook and that was it. Oh, and MySpace. We didn't have Instagram. We didn't have Snapchat. We didn't have TikTok. We didn't have Tumblr. We didn't have none of that.
We only had Twitter, but it was in the infant stages.
This was before Twitter, because Twitter came out my senior year.
Ooh, you're right. You really are showing your age, but we're not talking about that.
That's fine. That's fine. Okay. I'm old. I'll take that. But yeah, so needless to say, she tried that shit and then said she was coming to homecoming. Everybody was like, stop lying.
So, why are you always lying? Body why are you always lying?
Body roll.
Oh, my God. My God.
Body roll. All right, I'm good.
All right. Quincy, go ahead.
Real quick, since he mentioned the School of Journalism at Hampton, shout out to Scripps Howard. If you know, you know. And that's how we know she didn't go there. Because you can't even call the name of the damn school.
right.
Gosh, which crazy online dating story do I want to tell? I've been at this for about 10 months now. I think I'll go with Officer Eggplant.
I'm sorry. Wait, y'all can't see this. Jordan is driving. He hit his light.
His light on. Look at
Siegfried. I'm gonna just get my popcorn.
Don't do me like that, Jordan. Okay, so what had happened was, I want to say I met him on Hinge. And looking at the profile, I was like, okay, he's cute. Had a lot of things in common. I was like, okay, swipe right, see what happens. We ended up matching. Now, listeners, I'm going to put this disclaimer in here. I did not know he was the popo. His profile said he worked in government. Yeah.
So you sure it wasn't security?
No. I saw the picture with the uniform. He is Richmond PD. Ah. So we're chatting, everything, decide to exchange phone numbers, start talking about meeting up, whatever. And it's like 12, 1 in the morning, one night. And we're texting, talking, getting to know each other. And he sends me a text, was like, can I show you something? I'm like, well, suddenly, you know, my spidey senses are tingling. I'm like, you know what? Don't. I'd rather you not. He sends it anyway. It's a dick pic. Ladies, y'all know how we are.
So hold on real quick. So you're telling me in my Kevin Hart voice, it's a dick on the phone.
It was a dick on the phone. It was a dick on the phone.
Ah, okay. Now,
the Commonwealth of Virginia, does not have any laws against this.
Okay.
So unsolicited dick pics are not illegal. Maybe. Him being a cop, he knows this. So he sends it anyway, even though I say don't. Then has the audacity to say, don't show anybody. It's for your eyes only. Mm-mm. No, no, no. Anything on my phone. J. Cole? He kind of looks like J. Cole, though.
No, 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 no. There will be no J. Cole slander on my podcast.
It's not slander. He's actually a good-looking dude. But anyway, hey, you're not going to tell me what to do with what's on my phone. Once you send it, it's mine. It's on my phone. I do what I want with it. So he got mad at my reaction to the dick and told me that he felt like I thought he was unattractive at that point, blah, blah, blah. It wasn't a bad pick. I just didn't want it. Mm. Like, I'm trying to get to know you. That's just, this is day two of us talking. I don't want to see you next. Like, I don't. Henceforth, he has been in my phone under Officer Petty Eggplant Emoji.
Yeah. May I make a suggestion?
No.
I'm going to make it anyway. So you missed a prime opportunity to put his name as Officer Dill Pickles. And as I'm still going down this rabbit hole, did he ever ask you if you've ever had a cavity search before? Since he's really going down that road.
No.
No. No, Mrs. Smith.
No.
No, no. Mrs. Smith.
No.
Okay.
Petty Hell officer no. Penis.
Say that again, Jordan.
I said petty officer penis.
That's what it. That's what his name is, but it's the eggplant emoji.
Wow.
Officer Petty Dick.
Hmm. Could he get arrested for indecent exposure?
No, because it's an unsolicited dick pic and they're not illegal in the state of Virginia.
Ah.
There's no law against it.
Okay, Mr. Smith. Now you can.
Okay. I just want to put a PSA out there for everyone. Fellas, if a lady says they don't want a dick pic, don't send them a dick pic. The only time that you should want to send a dick pic is if she specifically says, hey, let me see it. But if she doesn't say it,
I want the deal. I want to see the deal.
Because it's only impressive, or we only like it when we ask for it.
They're trying to daydream real quick, but we're not.
That was the second picture he sent, though. The first picture he sent, he was butt naked in a mirror, and I just saw all of his backside.
Wow.
Yeah. So basically, I've seen him completely naked in pictures.
Well, that will do it.
Never met in person.
I ain't got no words for that. The crazy thing is, you never want to get pulled over in Richmond because knowing your luck, you're going to run into
him. I'm going to run into this motherfucker.
I promise you, if that happens, you are telling that story on this podcast.
If it happens, I'm flashing my titties to get out the ticket.
Why?
That's going to be a long flash, but we're not talking about that.
If they still have a dick pic, did you say the dick pic?
He said, wait, Brother X said that's going to be a long flash. I can't.
I'm sorry. I have no clue. We are way off topic at this
point. But for real though, she said
hey, dick Queen C, I don't want you to get in trouble, so knock on wood.
Okay. We good.
But not his wood.
Culture scientist asked something. Go ahead, culture scientist.
What was your question?
Did you save the dick pic?
I had it saved, but after a while I deleted it.
Okay, so my reasoning why I asked, right? You get pulled over and you said you flash, you know, to get off. But if they still be like, nah, I'll be like, fine, I'm gonna share this dick pic everywhere. Can you go to jail for that?
Yes, it's called
revenge. Yeah, it's revenge porn.
They have revenge porn, but they don't have it again for them to send it to you. That's backwards. Come on, Virginia.
It's the South. What do you expect?
I know. It's, you know, the slowest progression ever.
You're not wrong.
the slowest. I mean, I like living in North Carolina, but it's the slowest progression of progress.
It's not even progress at this point. It's regress.
True. You're not right. You're not wrong. So I guess I don't necessarily have any crazy dating stories. It's just, whoo boy, just dating. Ooh, dating is ghetto. I am so glad I am in a happy relationship. Culture scientist, go ahead.
Okay. So back before you, but it was after the bad one. Mm-hmm. Apparently, this is how I got the story. So there was a guy that knew me through the dude. Mm-hmm. So then we were online and he was like, oh, you and dude are no longer together. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, you know what? I'm bored.
Notice how all these stories start with something crazy. I was bored.
If you like that.
He was like, would you like to go to a dinner and a movie? I was like, you know, you're not bad looking. I'm bored. Sure. Why not? I've met you in real life before. Maybe you're not that bad.
He was that bad.
So, and he wasn't like horrible because like the story's not horrible, but this is just lessons for men in general. And for most women, they don't like this. So we try to make plans and make a plan, gentlemen. They try to make plans and things. And stuff kept falling through. So finally we decided on what day, what night, and or whatever, you know what I meant. So we go and he forgets that he has to work that day. So he tells me, oh, it's gonna be late. Unfortunately, we're gonna miss dinner. We can still do dinner, we can do dinner after the movie. I'm thinking like, no, we not. There's gonna be no dinner after this movie because the movie's gonna end late. We got to the movie at like 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So of course I met him there. No, he does not meet me in my house. I met him there. And then we'll go to the movies. We are, you know, he is an okay conversation. We sit down and then he proceeds to talk through every single one of the previews and overanalyze every single one of the previews. And I'm just like, well, I kind of want to see, it was a stupid movie. I think it was something with Cat, something dumb.
Haunted House or whatever.
Mm-hmm. It was a comedy. I think it was a Key and Peele movie, but like one of their not good movies.
I know which one you're talking about.
So, you know, he leaves in the beginning and right before the movie starts, like probably like two previews before, he says, I'm thirsty. Are you thirsty? And I was like, I mean, this is a movie. I would like some popcorn and a drink, but whatever, you know, this is a date too. So I'm confused on why this is not occurring naturally, but you know, I'm being thoughtful. So he comes back. So I'm watching it. The movie starts. He comes back with one regular size, mm-hmm. which is the big.
Yeah, you're right.
Regular size. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cup.
Got the Mondo size Coke. Yeah. Oh, Sprite. I'm sorry.
Right. It was Sprite. Now, I didn't say I was thirsty. He said he was thirsty. Uh-huh. He come back with that, mm-hmm. a small thing of popcorn, uh-huh. and a small ass little water cup.
Please. He did not.
And the water cup was, no, he was nice. The water cup was for him.
Oh, okay.
But I was still confused.
Okay.
Because again, you were thirsty.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you're giving me this big ass drink. Uh-huh. Thank you for trying to be a gentleman. Uh-huh. But you look kind of dumb.
Ah.
That's just.
You should have bought some dum-dums is what you're telling me.
So then he proceeds
to say. Dum-dum-dum-dum.
Thank you. So then he proceeds to say, what happened? What's happening in the beginning of the movie? What did I miss? I don't know. It's a stupid movie. I said, this is what happened. I get quick. He said, is that all? That's all. But he kept talking through the movie. Okay. I mean, it was a bad movie anyways. Mm-hmm. But that's not the point. It was like, he just kept talking. And then the movie ends. He's like, so where are we going to dinner? Wait. What do you mean, where are we going to dinner? First off, you should have that planned already. Second off, it is like 11 o'clock at night. We're going nowhere for dinner.
Well, question. You know what he should have did?
Oh, hold on.
Oh, no, go ahead.
No, go. You say it.
I just need to know. So did he offer to go to Waffle House?
No, what he offered was, you can come to my house and I'll cook dinner for you.
Nah, that's how you get snatched up.
And I said, nah, bro. That's I ain't that type movie. Of girl. Mm-mm. And that's the lesson
that's
learned
a Madea special.
Is that men need to learn sometimes what type of girl they're messing with early on.
Yes.
And then proceed correctly.
Mm. You know what? Before I
come, how do you forget you have to work?
Maybe he got scheduled like last minute, maybe. I don't know. Because he wasn't a bad guy. But like everything that preceded, I was just like, no. And then he kept getting mad because like past date, like a couple more dates later, because not we went on dates. He kept trying to go on more dates. And then he was like, well, I can just come cook. He kept offering this as an offer. I was like, when are you going to get this through your head? Mm-hmm. I am not coming to your house.
Uh-huh.
Like.
You know what he was doing? Mm-hmm. He's conniving for the coochie.
Of course. And if that is what you want.
Wait. Conniving for your coochie.
And if that's what you want,
yes.
Then say that. Say, look,
exactly.
I just want the coochie.
Be up front. You ain't got to connive for the coochie.
There's plenty of girls.
Men.
Just for that.
And culture scientists, I need you to back me up on this. Men, please understand that within the first 5 to 10 seconds of us meeting you, we know whether or not we want to give you the coochie. The only thing you can do from there is improve or decrease your chances of getting the coochie.
So we call
you ain't got to connive for the coochie.
Negotiations.
You ain't got to connive for the coochie. You ain't got to negotiate for Nookie.
The pre-evaluation.
There's no negotions with you.
There's no prerequisite for pussy. If we want to give it to you, we're gonna give it to you.
Do you be spitting?
I do not disagree.
You know what I've realized? We have gone this whole entire episode and we haven't talked about one of the biggest things. We haven't talked about catfishing. And you
have a story?
I am not a catfish. I have not been catfished.
Like,
what? I didn't say you have been.
Maybe we'll talk about it in the part two because this is very fun, entertaining, just talking about dating and online dating stuff. So we're probably going to have a part two because you know we got to get Kelsey on this because shout out to Kelsey. I miss you. Shout out to...
So this is part one, guys.
This is part one. This might be another part two we record next time we record. Mr. Smith, go ahead.
Now, I'm going to just make mine real quick. Kind of similar. It's almost... in a way relating to how you guys ended up the story of like having a plan. Between my junior and senior year of college, I did an internship at school and there was a girl there who number one was too rich for her own freaking good. And listeners by rich, I mean like she had a maid make her bed every day since she was born. And the first time she made her own bed was in college, but another story, another day. This was the first birthday she was gonna be without her parents and she was really like sad or whatever. So I was like, you know, hey, I'll take you out. Now, again, I'm taking words that you said, Queasy, along with you, culture scientists. Make your intentions up front. People, I said up front, I'm going to take you out. But remember, ma'am, I am a broke college student. This is my budget. Please stay within this budget. But as long as you stay within this budget, we can make this work. So we ended up saying, all right, where we want to go? I said, we're going to take you to Ruby Tuesdays because at that time in life, Ruby Tuesdays was the fancy restaurant under Red Lobster.
Oh boy. That's we true. Were struggling back in the day.
Yes.
But Ooh. Red Lobster still hit. I mean, we need to go back then.
No, we haven't been there in, I don't know how long.
Like years.
The yeah. Cheddar Bay biscuits.
Right. I want some right. now.
Where's my nigga Riley?
So we get there, right? And I told her, all right, I don't got that much money, but I'll make this work. First thing she orders, a waitress comes up and says, can I take your order? She's like, let me get a Shirley Temple. I said, Shirley Temple is not on this menu. I don't know where she, okay, you know, I'm gonna let it slide. Cool, I'm gonna just give me a lemonade. Waitress comes back with the drinks and says, all right, what do you wanna eat? She says, for an appetizer, I'm gonna have a broccoli and cheese soup. And then for the entree, I'm gonna have a 9-ounce New York sirloin medium well. And I said, I know. Lord, it's me again. Uh-huh. I know. I told this girl.
You did.
I don't have that much money.
Uh-huh. So, I was listening.
So why is she ordering all this stuff?
The waitress said, I give you my test to my strongest soldiers. You got to figure it out.
So the waitress said, would that be all? And she said, you know what? On second thought, yeah, all of that. But instead of it just being a steak, make it a surf and turf. And I said, I know. I done told this girl, I ain't got that much money. Now, listeners, I had the money for the bill. I'll make sure that's clear. But the people on this podcast know I'm a budgeter. So I've already put in my head how much money I'm willing to spend to make sure I'm able to take care of my bills and all that stuff. Now, obviously, I get a burger. So this is where old me probably had the one mess up of his life, but I'll take it, whatever. We talking, good conversation, whatever. She talks about her ex-boyfriend, blah, 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 whatever. As the waitress is coming with the check, she mentions, oh yeah, for my birthday, my parents put $500 in my account. And I said, really? So the waitress says, will that be cash or charge to me? To which I reply, that would be separate checks. And both of them turned at me and said, wait, what? And I said,
he's using real said, nigga.
I said, that will be separate checks. And the waitress looked at her. She looked at me. The girl looked at the waitress. The waitress said, I'll be right back. What's the check up? Now, her check was $52.35. I will never forget it. My check
on Fridays.
No, it was at Ruby Tuesdays, yeah.
Tuesday, Friday, it's a day of the week, damn it.
Yeah.
Because she got from everybody hates Chris.
You right.
And my check was literally $12, like flat $12. So she's looking at me with the card. She puts the card in and I'm like, so yeah, about your ex-boyfriend, how's that going? Everything's good? Sure? Everything's cool? Okay. So I'll go ahead and drive you back home. I drove her back and I actually ended up getting her like a little cupcake for her birthday. She blew the candles out. And then she didn't want to go back into her dorm. So she made me go put the cake back in, to which then I dropped her off at a specific section of campus to where another nigga picked her up to take her to the beach for a nightcap. And I was like, that's exactly why I separated the checks. The end.
To another point, ladies. Okay? Mm-hmm.
Talk about it.
Ladies.
Talk about it.
I'm not saying I know everything. Uh-huh. But one thing that I was taught.
You know, you be knowing things, yeah.
Is, yes, it's nice for a man to treat you. But one of the things I am proud of is if I can't pay for that meal myself, I'm not about to ask somebody else to pay for that expensive ass meal. Unless it is already free. It has been discussed. Because I'm going to be concerned. If I can't afford it, I'm not going to worry. I'm going to be slightly worried sometimes. And I know not everybody thinks this way, but it's called being cordial. It's called being kind. It's called being considerate.
It's called being a decent human being.
Yes. Don't go somewhere and expect, like these, like we go for a while online. They have all these, the comments about people spending money. If you don't spend this amount of money, no. When I was at
the $200 Shaw, date.
Right. When I was at Shaw, we have to have, in order for organizations to have an event, you have to have educational events. One of the best events I ever put on was Balling on a Budget Speed Dating, okay? And the trick was to make it educational. So the fun part was the whole dating part. And then the education, you know, I had pieces about how to, like, budget, things about, everything about budgeting. And then you had to answer the question, how would you spend $10 on a date? And you had to ask, that was a part of the speed dating, and people had to vote on your answer. And then whoever won, they usually got a $10, because we only could do like Chick-fil-A was up the street, so they would get a $10 Chick-fil-A gift card. But hey, it was something. Like, but the idea was to think about it, and it was thoughtful.
All right, Queen C, and then I'll close this out.
Okay, I got two things.
My organization is Swing 5 Swing Social Fellowship Incorporated, cross follow 8.
Yeah, what she said.
Talk your talk. All right,
Chrissy.
So 2 points to Mr. Smith's story, which is one, she sounded like old girl from a story a few weeks ago that thought that, you know, she deserved to live a certain lifestyle, but she didn't work to it for it. She was just upgraded to it. And two, Mr. Smith, as you were telling your story, what I heard was that you had a water with a lemon and an appetizer while you watched her devour a mountain of dead crab.
Yep. So listeners, if you're still listening, if you know that reference, you an OG. Shout out to Hot Damn I Rock. Like, he OG, triple OG, OG the third, respect. But one thing I just realized, I'm like, people, and I'll leave on this, so this is my transparent moment. Guys and ladies, everybody who's doing online dating, please do not, one, be safe. That's the most important thing. Two, know what you want and be clear about it. Communication is important, but don't believe the internet hype or the Instagrams or the Twitters or the Facebooks of the world that says that you got to have these different dates. You know who I blame for all this? I blame Drake. I blame Drake for renting out entire baseball stadiums for a date. And now you got some people thinking that's what they have to do in order to have a date.
Don't get me wrong now. I do have high take. Like, I am bougie. I don't lie. I know I'm bougie.
Yeah, yes, she is. My bank account knows why. All right, moving on. But honestly, just be clear in your intentions. Like, if you want one thing, be clear about that. And if you're not sure what you want,
just say that.
No, not even that part. Don't date. If you don't know what you want and you are clear about what that looks like and define that as, date yourself. Like, yeah. I played the post or a poem a few weeks back about dating yourself. Like, take some time. Take yourself on a self-date. Find out what you like, what you enjoy. Yeah. What is the standard of your exact wants? Because if you know what you want and what would appease you or make you happy in a date, then you can communicate that with the person that you are trying to court. Notice how I said court, not date. There's a difference.
Man, I used to date myself a lot.
It's very healthy.
My favorite thing to do still to this day is go to the movies by myself. That's my date to myself.
Yeah.
And the moment movies opened, I definitely went.
I'm not saying that, Queen C. All
right. to your point on that too, you know, just because you have to be clear about it and transparent.
Mm-hmm.
You don't.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, right. You don't have to always be blunt about it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be like, yo, I just want to fuck. You don't gotta do that. Or I just want to have sex. There's ways to say it without being just so crazy about it. And like sometimes that's a straight turnoff for some people.
Mm-hmm.
And to however you choose to date, because no matter what, at some point, the online dating is over and you are now dating in reality. So it turns back over.
Mm.
To reality situations, which goes back to the similarities and the differences about online dating and dating in real life. Because if you think about it, dating online is really just courting.
You're right.
It's not really actual dating. It's just courting,
mm-hmm.
if you think about it. But hey, I could be wrong. If you have other opinions, please feel free to comment. If you would like to be on it for our part two, please let us know. Mm-hmm. We welcome all opinions.
Yeah, man.
We might not all agree, but that's okay.
You might get jumped on. You might not, but that's just the course of these conversations.
Have some tough skin.
I'm about to say, have a backbone. And just know, you'll be all right. You can fight your mama if you're upset. But to all of our listeners, first and foremost, thank you for listening to our hilarious conversations, us getting sidetracked, us being plum fools, and just kicking it with our peoples, man. It's very therapeutic for us, so hopefully it's very therapeutic for you, but we still want you to go to therapy. Shout out to all of our therapists. But to bring this episode to a close, we actually want to make sure that we shout out all of our social medias, so you can always check us out on the TNT Pod 123 on Twitter, the Truth and Transparency Pod on Instagram, the Truth and Transparency Podcast on Facebook, and you can always email us at truthandtransparencypod123@gmail.com. Let us know what your thoughts are. If you have any stories, we may read these on the episode. We may even make it a whole segment. We may even do a follow-up with listeners. But listeners, I just want to say, first and foremost, thank you to our guests. Thank you to Jordan. Thank you to Queen C. Thank you to the culture scientist. Thank you to George of the Jungle, Mr. Smith. honestly, like, listeners, I say this all the time, but I really do mean it. Like, if this podcast gets no bigger than what it is right now, I'm okay with that. I was listening to a podcast or a podcaster talk about, like, you just got to get it out your head. You can't always worry about the numbers. Like, by the time you're hearing this, hopefully we will determine whether or not we're switching days or when we post the episode. But honestly, even if it's just, like, our people's listening to it and you just hear hilarious stories that gives you a good hour and a half of relief from the world that's going on, everything that's happening, we appreciate that. So with that being said, guys, please tune in. We're probably going to have a part two of this conversation next episode. Probably the week after this comes out, we'll probably have part two with some other guests on here. But before I sign off, is there anything people would like to say or share? Mr. Smith, Queen C, go ahead.
Once again, please no matter if you're dating online, in real life, be careful, honestly. Just be careful.
That's real. Mrs. Smith?
Again, to reiterate, don't send unsolicited dick pics. If you're going to be in the women's group chat, be in there for a good reason, not a stupid reason. And just to reiterate what Queen C said, be careful. There's a lot of crazy people out there, but there's also a lot of good people out there. And I'm starting to understand that now.
And don't connive for the coochie. It's not cute.
You just wanted to really say that, didn't you? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Don't be pandering for the pooty wop.
Don't be parading for the prick.
Don't be serving the mac and cheese unsolicitedly. All right, Mrs. Smith, play us.
Don't go chasing waterfalls.
Unless they wet.